This evening we are turning for our study in God's Word to Psalm 27. We were looking at the first three verses last week, and tonight we'll be looking at the next three verses in the Psalm. So Psalm 27, let's read again verses 4 to 6, and then we'll ask for the Lord's help in our study. Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Again, we trust that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his inspired word. Let's bow our hearts in prayer and ask for the help of God in our study tonight. Father in heaven, it is a joy to close the day, thy day, by gathering together with thy people and studying thy word. Lord, you have given us help as we have sought to praise thee tonight. We would ask that you would give us help now as we would listen to thy word. We ask that it might not be just a noise to tickle our ears, but Lord, we ask that it might be a word to strengthen our soul. Lord, we need to have our hearts drawn out after thee. We need to have our hearts encouraged and strengthened as we would seek to follow thee. And so, Lord, this night we come to thee and ask that you would be pleased to come in the midst of thy people and move with might and with power. Come and help us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a fictitious story about a man who finds a genie in a bottle. And when he rubs the bottle, the genie comes out and then asks what three requests he would like to have fulfilled. Obviously, the request would be of a carnal nature, and as a sinner coming to ask for things in this earth, you can imagine what sinners would ask. And yet, in the real sense, if God came tonight and said, you've got one desire, and I will answer that desire, what would be the desire that you would put before him? Solomon asked for wisdom because he was called upon to rule the people of God. He didn't ask for life, the life of his enemies. He did not ask for wealth. He didn't ask for pleasure. He asked for wisdom as he sought to do what God had put for him, that is, to rule the people of God. That desire was also the instruction of his father David to him, that he would ask for such a thing of God. And so when he had opportunity, that's what he requested. In Psalm 27, we have David telling us what would be his request. His request, according to Psalm 27, is that he would have the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, David was being assaulted by enemies. They were conspiring against him, as we read later on in the psalm. They had surrounded him, as we read in these verses here in the middle of the psalm. Real enemies, those who in David's time would want to kill him. David, like us, had a problem not merely with the enemies, but with his own heart. Controlling the desires of his heart, controlling the fears of his heart. And he begins the psalm by talking about those fears. Closely related to faith is the idea of seeking the Lord. And we find that David desired or sought the Lord because of his faith, and his faith in the Lord cast out his fears. The object of our fear will usually reveal the object of our faith. And the object of our faith will indeed help us to understand what we are going to fear. A man whose confidence is in man will fear men. A man whose confidence in the Lord will fear the Lord. And a man whose confidence in the Lord will also not need to fear any man. This seeking of the Lord was uppermost in the king's heart. David desired access into the presence of the Lord, that is, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. But what was his purpose for dwelling there? Why did he want to draw near to God? Why did he want to be in the presence of God? Well, the desire was for the Lord, obviously, but that desire manifested itself in three directions. It manifested itself in David's wanting to ponder the Lord's glorious perfections. It also manifested itself in David being protected by the Lord's power. And then lastly, it manifested itself with David praising the Lord's glorious person. Tonight I want us to think on those manifestations of this great desire of being in the presence of the Lord. We must have that desire if we're ever going to overcome the fear of man and the fear that the evil one would put before us to keep us from following after our Lord. And may the Lord give us grace then to have a heart like David's, where we desire the Lord and we desire his glory to be manifested to us. First of all, David wanted to ponder the Lord's glorious perfections. Here you find him describing his desire to come into the holy place. He describes it in a number of different ways. He calls it in verse 4, the house of the Lord. Well, we know the house of the Lord is the temple of the Lord. But at that time, there was no temple. To come into the house of the Lord meant you came into the tabernacle. But at that time, the tabernacle itself was divided. Part of the tabernacle was in Jerusalem, part of it was in another city. And we find then that he also describes this place that he wanted to enter as being his temple, that is the Lord's temple. Verse 5 is described as his pavilion. In verse 5 is described as the secret of his tabernacle. And then again we find in verse 6 it is called his tabernacle. David wasn't so much concerned about the figure, that is the ceremony, as he was about the reality. He wasn't really so much concerned about what was called the temple. The tabernacle at that time was called the temple of the Lord. You see that earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It wasn't a physical building, it was a tent. And then later there would be a physical building. That's what we normally think of when we speak of the temple. But David couldn't come into the temple of the Lord, as we'll think on in just a minute. He wanted the real temple. He wanted to dwell in that real temple. Now, was he asking to go home to heaven? I don't think so, because he said he wanted to be there all the days of his life. He wanted to know what it was to be in the presence of the Lord and to have the Lord overshadow him, to have the Lord be around about him and protect him while he was in this life, and then to leave this life and continue on with that presence of the Lord. He obviously could not come into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that was built there in Israel. He wanted to enter into the holy place. That's what he is speaking of when it says that he wants to go in to the tabernacle and to the house of the Lord all the days of his life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Where was the beauty of the Lord seen? It was being manifested in the Holy of Holies. And yet he was forbidden to enter there because he was of the tribe of Judah, just as we are forbidden to enter there because we are Gentiles. We cannot enter a place that is pure and holy. Our sinfulness and the distance that would be put between us and this Holy of Holies keeps us out of God's tabernacle. And yet David is longing, as we have said, to come into the real holy place of God in heaven. The type was only accessed by the high priest once a year at the Day of Atonement. And yet he wanted that glorious presence. He wanted to see, he wanted by the eye of faith to lay hold of all the beauty of God as God would manifest that beauty, not merely in the tabernacle, but in the real tabernacle that is in heaven. He wanted to see the glorious presence of God in heaven, even though he was here on earth. I believe that God does indeed give us a desire for seeing his glory. We have read about it. We read about the glorious God and how he made the world. We read about what took place on the cross. We read about the resurrection. We read about some of the miracles that have taken place. And we come to the conclusion, our God is great and He's glorious. And there is this desire to be closer to Him, to see that glory. Now, we have friends and we want to see them, and we spend time going to their homes or going to a place where we can meet with them. Here is the God who created the ends of the earth. He said to Solomon that the house that he was building could not contain God. He was too big. He was too great. And while God did manifest His presence in the Shekinah glory, while He manifested His presence in a way at times where they couldn't even go in to the Holy of Holies, yet no one really saw Him in all of His glory. Moses desired to see that glory, and the Lord told him he could not see it without being consumed. The only part of the glory he could see was the goodness of God. And as he saw the goodness of God, we find that Moses' face would shine. Tonight, there is a desire, I believe, in the heart of every one of God's people to see the Lord's glory. The glorious presence of the Lord is something that speaks of His holiness. When we come to the Holy of Holies, it is called that because the one who is in the Holy of Holies, manifesting Himself, is the one who in heaven is called the Holy Lord God Almighty. We come to the one who truly has great glory. David, while he was forbidden to enter because he was of Judah, yet he was promised to enter as a believer. In Psalm 73, verse 24, we read, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." There is glory that awaits the people of God when they leave this life. In Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He knew that there was coming that time when he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and yet now he wanted to experience that as much as possible, this side of glory. To go into the Holy of Holies meant he had to pass through the curtains. In the tabernacle, that was a wall of separation. The Lord's beauty was on the other side, as it were, of the curtain. And the curtains were there for separation, to keep you out. And yet at the same time, there was a door, as it were, a part of the curtain that you could go through. And in the veil, you could go further. You could go into the Holy of Holies. That veil was truly an access of love. And that access has now been opened for us, where we can come into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we read, "Therefore, brethren, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." There is access to God through the blood. And as we believe that, we will make use of the blood and coming into God's presence and fellowshipping with God, and by faith trying to understand the greatness of the God that we come and commune with. There's also access to God by the Spirit of the high priest. In Hebrews 10 and verse 21, it also explains that we can come unto God because we have an high priest over the house of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "For through Him we both have one access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The both there has to do with Gentile and Jew. The Jew and Gentile can come to God through Christ by the Spirit. We can come unto the Father. And so through Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, we come unto the Father. He was allowed to pass through the curtains, as it were, because there was a sacrifice there for him, and there was a high priest there for him. And you and I can come through those same curtains, as it were, through the darkness that is in the tabernacle. We can come into the presence of the living God to worship Him. If he came into the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord's beauty was symbolized in the ark. The ark had the testimony in it, that is the law of God in it. And in that was symbolized and spoken to the nation that God was a just and righteous God. The law spoke concerning what man ought to do. But the law also spoke concerning what God had Christ do or keep in order that there might be others saved. You know, the tabernacle was a picture of Christ dwelling among his people. But the ark and the mercy seat was also a picture of Christ. And here you had within the ark the law of God, and on top of the ark the mercy seat with the blood. And in Christ's very being you had the law of God in his heart. And then you had his own blood sprinkled, and that became the mercy seat, that which propitiated the wrath of God for the sins of his people. The ark had the mercy seat, and that showed God's grace. If the law showed his justice, the mercy seat showed his grace. And the blood was sprinkled before the ark, allowing man to approach. The blood was sprinkled upon the ark, allowing God to approach. And so while the law was there, yet the law was being covered, as it were, by the blood. So the worshiper could come near to God because the blood was between him and God, and the blood was between God and the law. Tonight you and I are able to come to God because of that blood. The blood of Christ covers us from all sin, and it takes away that great fear that we have. That men would fight us and men would hate us and men would desire our death, that's something going on all through the world today. There are Muslims that hate people that are not Muslims. They're not Christians, they're just not Muslims. And they're hated by the Muslims. Well, what would it be like to have those who hate you and want to kill you, and yet God himself is angry with you? God himself wants you destroyed. And yet David here is describing the coming unto God without fear. He wanted to come and ponder, think, meditate upon the Lord's glorious perfections. He wanted to come and approach the real Lord. That's what it says. He wanted to meditate on the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is oftentimes called in Scripture the beauty of his holiness. Men will come to an art gallery and they'll sit before a painting, and for hours they will sit and meditate upon that which the artist was trying to put within the painting. How much more should men come and sit before God and contemplate his holiness? He is a great God. He is worthy to be meditated on. And this is what David wanted to do. He wanted to come in to the holy place and meditate upon the Lord. If on a Lord's day in your singing, if on the Lord's day in the reading of Scripture, if on the Lord's day there is the preaching of the Word where God is being lifted up and we're being caused to think upon his attributes and his greatness and his glory, then whatever else happens on that day, if you have met with the Lord and thought upon him, it's been a good day. Most of what the evil one would want you to do through the week is keep your mind occupied so that you cannot think on your God. You cannot think upon the blood atonement, so that you're thinking like the world with the hopes that if in thinking like the world, you'll begin to act like the world. David wanted to come and to meditate on the beauty of God, knowing that that alone would transform him and that alone would satisfy his heart. The Lord has made us for himself. There is nothing else in this world that will satisfy your heart. You won't find it in the person. I know there are those who teach our young people that if you just found the right mate, the right spouse, that your life would be perfect from then on. Well, your life may be better from then on, but it won't be perfect. While God made man for woman and woman for man, nonetheless, he made both for himself. And the greatest yearnings of the heart and the greatest desires of the heart are for God himself. And he is the only one who can satisfy our being. Either we come and meditate upon him, or we're empty in that part of our being. David wanted to come into the tabernacle, the temple, the pavilion. And he wanted to meditate upon the glory of the one who manifested himself there. Would you note also, he not only wanted to meditate as he approached the real God, he also wanted to inquire from that God for blessing. That's what he says at the end of verse 4. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David is not merely asking for the reality of seeing the Lord. He's asking that the Lord would hear him. That he could come to the Lord and speak to him. That he could come and put his requests before him and be heard. Were the requests spiritual or physical? I would say they're both. Were the requests for that which is temporal or that which is eternal? I would say both. He wanted to be able to inquire, to, as it were, speak to the Lord about his needs. If the Lord made us for himself, then our greatest need is of the Lord, and that certainly is an answer that a Lord would want to give us. But the Lord wants to give us all that we need in order to do his will. And so we need to come to him and present to him the desires of our heart, if our heart's first desire is for the Lord. Secondly, we find that David also wanted to be protected by the Lord's great power. As he was coming into the holy place, that was his great desire. If that is your desire, it will cast out many fears. He had the desire to seek the Lord, and there was none that could stop him from finding the Lord, because the Lord had made a way into his presence. You and I can come to the Lord at any time, day or night. You say, I'm lonely. Well, why aren't you coming to the Lord? You say, I'm fearful of what men's going to do to me. Then why aren't you coming to the Lord? You say, I have needs. Well, why aren't you coming to the Lord? If the way has been made into his presence, then the way to conquer our loneliness, to conquer our fears, to conquer the needs that we have are found in his presence. We need to go there. We need to go there for ourselves. Parents need to go there for their children. Children need to go there for their parents. We have those needs that we can come and bring to him. But one of the great needs, especially in this psalm, is that need to be protected. David wanted to be protected by the Lord's great power. That's what he says in verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. He needed protection from the Lord's just punishment. And that's the first thing he needed protection from. You can't come into the holy place, the holy of holies, without being consumed by God's wrath. And yet he had a place, a rock, that he could stand upon, the Lord Jesus Christ being that rock. And he could stand there knowing that he would be secure before God's law. He would be secure in the temple because Christ is our foundation and he is the high priest who has gone in before us. It's interesting that in the dome of the rock, you have there the dome built upon the rock. And they tell us that that is the Temple Mount. That is the Arab building that's now there in Jerusalem. It's a dome and it's on the rock. That's the popular way of describing their building. They may not like that term, but that's the term that everyone uses. Why do they call it the Dome of the Rock? Because there's a huge rock underneath it. There's a huge rock. Interesting that you would have the temple being built on a huge rock. Not the Dome of the Rock, but I'm speaking now of Solomon's Temple and then later the temple that was refurbished under Herod. We have a temple that has the huge rock in it, as it were. Our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is David saying that he would be lifted up upon a rock. They're not going to be able to destroy me because I am on the rock. Whether his imagery is that they could not get to him or perhaps the rock where you could hide in, David was secure there. And certainly we have the rock of ages, or the Lord Jesus Christ, that hides us from the law of God, from the just punishment that we should receive from that law. And we need not fear, because in time of trouble, he will hide us. But while we are hidden from God's just punishment, David obviously also wanted protection from sinners' unjust punishment. That is, he wanted victory. And that victory is certainly described when he says his head will be lifted up above mine enemies. The lifting up of the head was a sign of conquering. It was a sign that you had bested your enemies in battle. And so here is David, and his head is being lifted up above his enemies. He is believing, according to what we read here, that his enemies have been destroyed. God put him on the rock, that is David, and David is now being exalted. You and I have been given this position of strength in Christ, and because of that, you will be victorious. You may not be victorious in this life, but you will be victorious one second after you leave this life. And so we've had brethren who have gone to the scaffold, and there they either cut their head off or hanged them or burned them at the stake. And one moment after dying, they went to the throne where Christ is, and they began to rule over the very ones who killed them. What great comfort that is to the people of God to know, not only do I go into the presence of Christ, but for all eternity, I am going to be protected by Him. For all eternity, no man, no devil can get at me and remove me from His presence. Now, God can make it that way now, but He's promised to make it that way when we leave this life. And so David was looking in this time of trouble, of being hidden from the enemy, in this time of trouble, being set upon the rock, in this time of trouble, having his head lifted above his enemies and being exalted. We do see him, do we not, in that capacity when we see him being put on the throne? And God hides him from his enemies so he cannot be destroyed, such as Saul in the wilderness. And God puts him upon the rock, that secure place, when he becomes king in Judah and then later king in Israel. And then while he's king in Israel, his head is lifted up above his enemies. That's the lot that he has for all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ will make it happen because he himself is conquered. The third thing that David wanted in his desire to be with the Lord is that he wanted to praise the Lord's glorious perfection, the glorious person. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is the way, the reason the Lord has made us. He's made us for himself, and we are to glorify him, and you are best suited for glorifying him. So that if you're not glorifying God with your being, you're failing to use the being that you have to its full extent, to what it's created for. God wants us to glorify him, and he wants us to enjoy him. That takes time. It takes time sometimes just away from all the time we spend with those in our family. We need to take time to glorify him and enjoy him. That's why we come to the Lord's Day one day out of seven, so that we can quit our work, we can quit the things that normally take our attention, good things, things that we must do in order to live on this earth. But God says, I want you in one day in seven to put them aside because I want you to come into my presence. I want you to worship and glorify me, and I want you to enjoy what I have done, what I am doing, and what I will do for you. So David here, having come to this tabernacle to seek the Lord's glory and to meditate on that beauty and to inquire, and to know that the Lord is protecting him so these enemies round about can't get at him, he now wants to offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Sacrifices of joy has to do with the sacrifices that were offered in the Thanksgiving sacrifice. That they were offered not so much for atonement as they were offered in thanksgiving and gratitude for all the Lord did for the worshiper. We sing unto the Lord, our God. Why? Because he is glorious in his being. That alone would consume our attention for all eternity. Just singing to him because he is glorious. Any sight you see in the scriptures where the Lord is manifesting himself to people, the sight is so glorious that the people oftentimes are on their face in the dust because they cannot look at the glory of God. We sing unto him because of that glorious beauty. David said he wanted to meditate, he wanted to think upon the Lord's beauty. We sing unto the one who is glorious. He is clothed with majesty and glory, and we ought to esteem him highly and praise his name because of it. Secondly, we sing unto God who is great in his being. He is able to overcome any enemy. His great power will be manifested in destroying all of our enemies and all of his enemies one day. And so we come and we praise our Lord for his great power that he manifests to us. But if we come to sing, if we come to approach him, if we come into his presence and draw near to him, certainly the song that is on the tip of our tongue is the song about his grace. That any one of us tonight can come unto him and come close to him certainly speaks of the Lord's grace. We're all sinners. We have record in Scripture of those coming close to the Lord and being consumed by that coming. You have Nadab and Abihu doing that in the tabernacle, and the fire of God came out and consumed them because they were coming in a sinful way. They were coming in a way that God did not demand, that God did not want, and God consumed them. We sing unto the Lord who is gracious in his being. He is the one who allows us to come into his presence. He is the one who has made the way into his presence. He is the one who sent the only begotten Son into this world. He is the one who raised him from the dead when the punishment was made in full. He is the one who exalted him to his own right hand. Why did he do all of that? Because of his grace toward us. Because of that great mercy. It is only the Lord's grace that allows the Lord to protect his people. So we come with the sacrifice of joy. We come and present our bodies a living sacrifice to praise his name, a living sacrifice to carry out his will, whether that will be in the church or in our homes or in the workplace. We present our bodies to him to carry out his will. If you have this desire to be with the Lord, as David did, so that you would ponder his perfection, so that you would come and rest in his protection, that you would come and praise his glorious person. If that were your heart's desire tonight, you would find that the worldly cares and the worldly fears would melt away. Sad to say, we don't worship, and because we don't worship, we are fearful of serving. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said that worship was the missing jewel in the Christian's life in America. Certainly, it is a jewel that's not often developed among God's people. The ability to worship the Lord, to come into his presence, to desire him, to know he will protect, to know he will answer our prayers, to know that he desires our praise. The Lord wants us to worship him. We have come tonight to sing hymns that we believe bring glory to his name. Not just nice hymns, not just hymns that follow a creed, but hymns that will worship the God that we adore. You'll go home tonight and you'll have a home. Is his praise there being sung? Is prayer being offered to him? Is there a desire and a seeking after him by the individuals in the home? There used to be a time in our nation's history when there were many people seeking the Lord, and what a great benefit that was to the nation. But you and I haven't lived in such a society in all of our days. The closest we come to that is when we come to the house of God and we're among God's people. David knew what it was to fear. And he said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation, the strength of my life." That drove away his fears. And because he had the Lord as his light and salvation and strength, he then went into the Holy of Holies to fellowship with that God, knowing that God would indeed desire him to meditate upon all of his beauty. God would desire David to protect him, and God would desire the praise that would come from his lips. God desires that from us as well tonight. May the Lord help us in our worship. Your worship time is not wasted time. However long it is, it's not wasted time. The time you spent meditating upon your God, praising him, seeking him, is not wasted time. The people that know how to worship will serve. But there are many who are serving today who have never learned how to worship. May the Lord give us grace that our one desire would indeed be like David's. It would be for the Lord and to be able to ponder his great attributes and know that he will protect us as we sing his praise. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. We have been speaking about a heart that's redeemed tonight. While all of us who are redeemed have better moments than others, days when we desire the Lord, and then carnal days where we seem to run away from him, yet nonetheless there is that desire to worship him, to know him, and to praise him. And if there's never that desire in the heart, you need to ask the Lord why that desire is not there. If you've been redeemed by the blood, do you not want to know more of that? When you have been given away into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. If you know that everyone's going to leave this life and you're going into the presence of the living God, doesn't that put upon your tongue a witness to the world that there's only one way to Christ, and that when you die, everything is over concerning any enjoyment that you have known, any pleasure you have known, and it's only torment forever? God puts upon our heart the desire to worship him, and we will do that forever when we leave this life. Oh, that the Lord would help us as we learn to do that now, as we learn to contemplate his beauty. If tonight that is not the desire of your heart, the desire of your heart is all self-centered. You want what you want, and you want to do it. Then you need a new heart. You need a heart that's been redeemed by the blood, a heart that has been given life so that you desire, first of all, the atonement of Christ, but that you desire God himself, that you might seek after him. Come to the Lord. He's able to give you such a heart. He's able to change the heart of flesh and the heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh, a heart that is unbreakable. He's able to take that heart and make it pliable in his hands. Come to the Lord and let the Lord move on your heart and change it, that you might be one who desires to worship and glorify the Lord. Father in heaven, we have read in Scripture that David was a man after thine own heart. We read the Psalms and we certainly find that indicated in each Psalm that he wrote. He had a great longing to meditate upon thee and to make that known to others. And Lord, as we stand back and think upon David, here was the mighty king with so much to occupy his attention, so many things in a day that had to be done, not only for himself, but for his family and for the nation. And yet, Lord, here he is, desiring above all things to be in thy presence, to think on thee and what you have done for him, to meditate upon that and to sing unto thee. Lord, that would be our desire as well tonight. We know, we have read of things that David has wrote here that are somewhat figurative, dealing with the house of the Lord, which certainly he could not enter, and yet there was a house of the Lord in heaven, and that house was being manifested around David. Lord, as we come to thee, we find that same figure being used of the temple of God. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that we're in the habitation of God, that we're here where you manifest yourself to your presence, to your people. And Lord, we would ask that you would help us to draw near without fear because of all that Christ is for his own. Lord, help us not only today or tonight, but even tomorrow morning as we are awake, help us to seek thee. Help us throughout the day to hear thy voice and to inquire in thy temple. Lord, give us grace to draw near and to encourage others to draw near. Would that when we come together again next Lord's Day, there would be those that would come into the house of God with us because we have encouraged them to draw near to the Lord. Lord, give us grace that we'd be more like David, that we'd be more like this man of God each day of our life. For those that are seeking thee for the first time, we would ask tonight, Lord, that you would save them, that you would give them that new heart whereby they desire to worship thee, they desire to serve thee, they desire to glorify thy name. Lord, give them that new heart. Help them to trust in Christ and Christ alone. Help them then to desire the beauty of the Lord to be the thing that captivates their attention and where they focus their eyes. Lord, give great grace in that regard. Lord, as we go to our homes tonight, we ask that we might go there rejoicing for what little we know of Thee, and that, Lord, You would take us on to deeper truths concerning Thyself, and that, Lord, we would walk with Thee, we would trust Thee in times of affliction, that we would glorify Thee with our whole being. Lord, help each one of us. We need Thy help, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.